Well, I think that they are going to continue to happen. I was asked, you know, is the lone wolf threat and our threats of sleeper cells and small groups of terrorists attacking, like in Paris, are those a bigger concern in, say, London or Paris or Washington, D.C.? And in my opinion, everywhere it really is fair game. The reality is that terrorism is exceedingly difficult to stop because it's so easy to produce. It really doesn't take very much to alarm the public. Furthermore, it's not particularly hard to harm the public and to generate massive amounts of media attention. And this is particularly true, of course, within democracies. And so I see no end in sight to these kinds of attacks. In terms of the particular mode of attack, I do believe that that's a response to improved counterterrorism measures. Basically, Al-Qaeda and Islamic State have difficulty dispatching terrorists from these conflict zones to the West. And so for years now, they've been calling on Muslims local to, you know, these Western countries to attack there. And so that applies whether we're talking about a lone wolf attacker or whether we're talking about a couple brothers, as it seems like what happened today in Paris.
Well, what can be done to deter future attacks?
Well, I think that terrorists are motivated by all sorts of different goals. And that really makes counterterrorism difficult because the point of counterterrorism, of course, is to deprive utility to the perpetrators. And so some terrorists, you know, they want to be famous. And so the media might not, you know, sort of exalt these people as terrorist masterminds in the sophistication of the attack. Others want to martyr themselves. Others do it for the money, or even frankly for the women, or for a sense of adventure, or a sense of purpose in life. And so there are many different drivers to terrorism, and that's what makes it so difficult. And I think that we need to carefully consider what is it exactly that terrorists want and what's the best way to deprive them of getting it. Only if we're able to do that will we dissuade them from participating in terrorism.
Well, how far can governments go to control terrorism? I mean, they have to tread lightly in some ways to avoid stepping on civilian rights.
That's absolutely true. It's not just a moral issue, the protection of civilians. It's also a strategic issue. And the reason is because probably the worst thing that a government can do for counterterrorism is to overreact. It's actually better to underreact. It's better to do nothing than to react sort of indiscriminately and punish law-abiding citizens, because that sort of behavior only incentivizes them to join forces with the terrorists. And so the French government, in this case, needs to be very careful about not overstepping its bounds in a way that will ostracize the 5 to 6 million Muslims living in France. Because if the government does that, you're going to see more and more volunteers and recruits for these kinds of Islamist groups, because French behavior will sort of be a realization of their worst fears, that, you know, that the government is hostile to Islam and hostile to Muslims. And this is an issue that the United States has been dealing with for a long time as well. You know, even our seemingly benevolent policies in the Muslim world are not interpreted that way. And the United States is frequently labeled as, you know, as evil, and this only strengthens the position of the terrorists. So I think that France needs to be very careful. I think that the best counterterrorism response is a very strong one directed against the culprits, but that one that doesn't exceed those bounds and harm the rights of law-abiding citizens. And that really is a strategic issue as much as a moral one.